The following sermon by John Hinkle is entitled, Choose Affliction. Feel free to copy and share.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we are desperately in need of your Holy Spirit to guide in our lives, Father, to transform us. We ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Job, there were four men that came to talk with Job. There were the first three men that were the older ones, and I'm sure you've read the book of Job. And they repeatedly keep telling Job that he's sinned, he's done something wrong. But there's a fourth man that does not speak until probably about the 32nd chapter, somewhere in there. Now, at the very end of Job, God tells Job, my wrath is kindled against Job's three friends. He names them, he names the one and his two friends. He says, because they haven't spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And you'll find that in chapter 42 where God says this. And God says, I won't even accept their prayers. And if God's wrath is kindled against you, you have Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction. And if God won't accept your prayers, you've got a huge problem. You can find that text in Job 42. But anyway, this fourth friend of Job does not get any rebuke from God. And in rereading this, I've come to understand something a little bit different than I've ever seen before. I don't know if it might be possible to get a thing here to put my Bible on. In chapter 1, I'd like to keep some things in mind. Chapter 1, it starts out, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz that was perfect and upright and blameless, that feared God and eschewed evil. I think that's how it starts. Alright, so the Word of God is inspired, and the Word says that the man whose name was Job was perfect and upright and blameless, perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So the Word of God says that Job was perfect and upright. Now, we know some things to look at this, at the story of Job a little bit differently. When the sons of God come to meet with God in chapter 2, in chapter 1, it says in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and forth upon the earth and walking up and down it. Who brings up Job? Does Satan bring up Job, or does God bring up Job? If God remains silent about Job, what happens with Job? Satan says, I can't touch him. Isn't that what he says? He says in verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance. If God does not bring Job up, what can Satan do to Job? Alright. First point is, God is the one that brings Job up, and God brings him up for a special reason. There is refinement that even Job is not even aware of in his life. And you and I are sitting here today. There may be something in our lives we're not aware of. Anyway, but in verse 11, Satan said something to God. He says, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So Satan tells God, you touch him. And you know what God tells Satan? You can be my hand. Satan has already acknowledged, I can't do nothing. God gives him permission to touch him. He can't do that without God's permission. All right? And you know what happens? What happened? Everything, he loses everything. In verse 21, chapter or 20, Job rose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshipped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to notice something in chapter In verse 22 it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Now, I thought that Job was this way the whole way through Job. But when you get to Job's fourth friend, you're going to find something a little bit different. When Satan again appears before the Lord a second time, and this is in chapter 2, the Lord says to Satan, "Has thou considered my servant Job?" This is in verse 3. "There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He still holds fast to his integrity, even though thou movest me against him." God says in chapter 2, "I moved against Job." He didn't say Satan moved against him, did he? He said, "You moved me." He said, "I moved against him." So the move against Job was from God to destroy him without cause. And in verse 4, you know, Satan says, you know, "Let me have at him again." And verse 6 says, the Lord said to Satan, "He's in your hand. But save his life. You can't kill him." Now, so you know what happens. Chapter 3 is when Job first opens his mouth. And he says, and cursed. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. This doesn't sound much like praising the Lord in all things, does it? And as you continue down through here, it doesn't sound like he's very thankful. The Bible says give thanks in all things. Does Job have a praise exemption on this? Do you have a praise exemption in what's happening in your life? You get down to verse 25 and 26 of chapter 3. Look at what Job says. "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which was I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I troubled or quiet, yet trouble came." Job is saying, "I feared." And the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And it says that the fearful and the unbelieving will not be in heaven. Revelation 21:8 says that they're going to be in the lake of fire. So God looking in Job's life, he brings Job up before Satan. Satan don't bring him up because there's a hedge about him. Satan can't touch him unless God removes that hedge. Now, but this fourth friend, he's going to start seeing some things, and we need to go to chapter 32, I believe it is. And this is going to be a little bit maybe different than you've understood, but bear with me. In first verse, it says, "After these three men ceased to answer Job," what does the last part of your text say? "Because Job is righteous in his own eyes." So I'm going to, just as we're talking today, ask these questions to yourself. Are you righteous in your own eyes? I'm just, all right. And then verse 2 says, then was kindled the wrath of Eli, or what, I'm not even going to try his name. "Against Job was his wrath kindled," in verse 2, "because he justified himself rather than God." Now we've got two things that are accused of Job. What was the first one? He has self-righteous, and the second one, he justifies himself. I know one thing, you don't want to be standing in judgment with self-righteousness, and you don't want to be judging, or you don't want to be justifying yourself. Because if you're not justified by Jesus Christ, you're going to die. Now, this is the only man that God does not rebuke. And he's going to go on in verse 3. "Also, against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they found no answer." And what had they done? They condemned Job. How did they condemn Job? I was puzzled with this one. How did they condemn Job? If I accuse someone here of stealing, what does the law say about stealers? Death. That's right. So if they accuse Job of stealing from the homeless, or the, you know, robbing the orphan, or the taking from the widow, or, you know, what are they accusing? They're actually not only accusing, it's a condemnation. I'd never looked at that before. If I accuse you of something, I've condemned you.
this gets a whole lot worse. We're just getting started. This fourth guy, these are probably some of the best chapters in the Bible on righteousness by faith that there is. The next three or four chapters are going to knock you flat as you back up and look at it. And what I can tell you is as we go forward, we're going to look at what does God say about what this fourth guy says. You're going to find out that God says the same thing. I never caught this. I thought this. And keep in mind, there's a man in the land of Uz who's perfect and upright and blameless. Now, whose perfection does he have? He has the Lord's. God has. This is about righteousness by faith. It's God that has called him perfect, upright, and blameless. And you're going to find out that his life is really messed up. And he's even, as we continue on here in this with this fourth man, we're going to find out that he even condemned God. Job condemned God. Look what the. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take. Look what this fourth guy says. In chapter 34, 17, it says, Shall even he that hateth right govern? Wilt thou condemn him who is most just? Who would that be saying that Job is condemning? He's accusing him of condemning God. And you go down to 35:2. He's continuing. He says, moreover, he says, thinkest thou this to be right? Thou saidest, my righteousness is more than God's. Now, we're going to go see what God says about this. Because I don't want you to take my word for it. The word of God, God is able to speak for himself. All right? We're going to go on. One more thing before we go on. This guy says, in chapter 35, verse 16, he says, therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. This fourth guy is shooting pretty heavy and straight at Job. Has nothing to do with how he's anyone else. He's talking about between you and God. But look what God says in chapter 38, verse 2. It says, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind in verse 1 and says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is God talking about? That's right, God is saying, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? How would you like God to talk about you like that? This is a man, now hold on, he's perfect and upright and blameless. Whose perfection does he have? That's right, he has Christ for perfection. He does not have his own. We start seeing that Job had some major things, and when God turned him into the hands of Satan, it was for the perfection of Job. And we're going to find out some ugly things about it, because we're going to continue on. In chapter 40, God's going to continue with this. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? And he that reproveth God, him let him answer it? What has God just said Job did? Job reproved God. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever reproved God? That's pretty brazen, isn't it? That's what God says. This isn't what it is. It gets worse here. Look what Job says in Job answers in verse 3 of chapter 40. He says, Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Job has a different picture of himself right now, doesn't he? It has totally changed the picture what Job thinks of himself. He says, I am vile. What shall I answer? I will lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, but I will not answer twice. I will proceed no further. Then God picks it up again. Look what God says. Then in verse 6, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. What does verse 8 say in your Bible? Well, wow, what did God just say Job did? Did anyone pick? God said Job condemned him. I had never caught that before. How did Job condemn God? He said two things. He says, will thou disannul my judgments? What are judgments? What? What God allows to happen in your life. God chose to allow this to happen in Job's life, right? And Job's saying God has done something wrong. Let's go back and look at some of what Job says. And he says, not only that, God says, you condemn me. What has Job, how has Job condemned God? He said God didn't do the right thing. Isn't that what he said? He's accused God of wickedness? Because Job says, let's go back and look what Job says. Let's look at this fourth friend, what he says to Job. You guys want to go back and reread this carefully. Chapter 33. This fourth guy says, in verse 6, he says, I am according to thy wish, and God said. See, if you go back and you cross-reference that, you're going to see that Job says, oh, that he would talk to me. And this guy says, I'm going to be in God's stead. I'm going to talk to him for you. I'm going to talk to you for him. I'm going to give you what he would say to you. He says, in verse 7, he says, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon this, or upon thee. Verse 8, surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing. He says, this is what you said. And I have heard the voice of thy word saying, chapter 9, I am clean, without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. This is Job's words. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. What has Job just said about God? I've done nothing wrong and he's doing wrong, doing something to me. He's picking on me. Does that paint a bad picture of God? God runs around picking on people, being mean to them? Not just? You're saying God is not righteous? He keeps going here. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for an enemy. In 10, 11, he putteth my feet in the stocks. He marks all my path. His fourth friend says, behold, in this thou art not right. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee. First of all, God is greater than man. Look at verse 13. It says, why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Have you ever noticed that God don't tell you why he's doing what he's doing? This fourth guy tells you, God's not going to give you answers. Divinity does not stoop to give answers. He's not going to tell Job why he's doing it. God is God. Look at verse 16 and 17. He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. King James is a little bit difficult to understand on some things. God is doing what he's doing to try to get rid of the lethal disease that's killing us. That's self. And it has to die. Because if self lives, there's no place for Jesus Christ in the heart. And so God makes sure that you get just what you need for self to die. And he gives you a couple things to do. When he gives you something, what does he tell you to do? In all things do what? Give thanks and give praise. I would suggest this, that if you're not giving thanks and praise, you're actually condemning God because you're saying he did the wrong thing. Is there any, I don't know about there's anyone else here besides me that has condemned God. Said that he didn't do things right. This isn't fair. This fourth guy, you got to read this. There is so much here. But he's wanting to hide pride from man there in verse 16 or 17. Man, there's so much here. How much time do I have? Oh, man. Oh, my. Wow. That's so... This is so good. Let's go to chapter 34. Keep your finger in 34 and I'm going to read you something he said in 32. This fourth guy, he says in verse 9, he says, great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. He says, "There, I waited for your words in verse 11. I gave ear to your reason while you searched out what to say. Yeah, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or answered his words. Least we should say, we have found out wisdom." He puts out a very good point. God thrusts him down, not man. I want to take a moment just to look at the 21st and 22nd verse of this chapter. And this is in chapter 32. And this is heavy. Because you may have been a partaker in this, both either in what you've done or what you're listening to. 21 says, "Let me not, I pray you, accept another man's person, neither let me give," what does your Bible say? Flattering titles unto man. What does verse 22 say? That's right, "I know not to give flattering titles. In doing so, my Maker would soon take me away." Here's the youngest person talking to four of his elders. And he can't. You don't want to have any part of giving flattering titles. You don't want any part. You don't even want to hear it. Not even. You don't want to receive one. You don't want to give one. So many times you hear someone introduce someone, and they start telling about best-selling author and all that, you know, and they go on and on and on. I was at a camp meeting 3 weeks ago, and they spent 20 minutes trying to tell you how wonderful the speaker was. And he got up spent 10, 15 minutes telling how wonderful the person that had introduced him was. And I'm thinking, Job says I'm vile. I think we better be careful about flattering and praising each other. There's very little in this Word of God about praise to man. Very, very little. But I think that if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll lift you up. You won't need man to. But it only comes from you humbling yourself before the Lord. Well, we'll continue on. Chapter 34, I love this stuff. Oh, my. This fourth guy, he talks for about four chapters in a row, maybe five, I don't know. In 34 verse 2, he says, Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat or food. What does verse 4 say? Let us choose judgment. All right, now, we traditionally think of judgment as, you know, the white throne, and God is deciding, you know, what you've done wrong and right, whether or not you're coming to heaven and all this. But you see, the Bible actually teaches something else about judgment. There's judgment and there's judgments. All right? When David did what he did with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, what was God's judgment upon that? Actually, David pronounced sentence on himself, didn't he? He says the man should pay how many times? Four times. How many of David's sons died? The baby dies. Then what? The one son, Ammon rapes Tamar, and so Absalom kills him, so that's two. Then Absalom is caught in hair, that's three. What was the fourth son? That's right. And that's after Solomon becomes king. He's trying to set himself up. And four of David's sons pay for his sin. What does the Bible say about praising the Lord in all things? It doesn't matter what God gives you. You do not have... The last verse of Psalms. Let's go there for a second. Keep your finger in Job, because we're going to spend some time here. Well, I don't know how much time, but... Last verse of Psalms. We got to look that up. How does your Bible read? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Does anyone here have that praise exemption yet? Are you not breathing? So that means that what's expected of you? So anything that's not praise is insubordination? Right? When you're suggesting God has done wrong, you are condemning God. That doesn't... There is no exemptions on this. Either God is righteous... Well, let's come down here and look. Let's look at what this guy says. This fourth guy says, or he says, let us choose judgment. What has God given to Job? The very thing that will transform his life. And he's saying, you should choose this. What has Job chosen to do? Let the day perish I was born. I'm without sin. He's saying, oh, that I could talk to him. I know he would realize how wrong he's been. You know? Look at what verse 5 says. Job has said, I am righteous and God hath taken away my judgment. What does verse 6 say? That's right. Should I lie against my right? That's some pretty heavy stuff. Verse 7, what man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goes in the company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? Look what he says in verse 9. He's repeating Job's word, for he has said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself in God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Verse 10, far be it from God that he should do wickedness. What has Job charged God with? Wickedness. I hope your toes are getting stamped on like mine right now. Far be it from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. That's in verse 10. Verse 12, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Job's been accusing him of perverting judgment. Gets worse. Well, in verse 17 it says, wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to the king in verse 18, thou art wicked, and to princes you are ungodly? How much less, in verse 19, to him that accepteth not the person of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. Look at verse 23. He will not lay upon man more than right that he should enter into judgment with God. God is wanting to save Job. God's righteousness, Jesus Christ's righteousness, is not only standing for him. Do you know that Jesus Christ's righteousness stood for Job while Job was condemning him? Can you imagine a Savior like that? We serve an incredible God. And He is going to bring Job, as we continue this picture, in this picture of Job, He is going to bring Job to the correct understanding of what He's really like. And He's going to do this while He covered him with His righteousness the whole time, because He never said He wasn't. All right. Verse 31, surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Thir- 35, Job has spoken without knowledge, his words were without wisdom. My desire, this blows me away, my desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto... Now, what? He just added rebellion to this picture. What does the Bible say rebellion is as? The sin of witchcraft? That's in 1 Samuel. He addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clapped his hands among us and multiplied his words against God. You know, God is agreeing with this fourth friend. Then in 35 he says, thinkest thou this to be right, that thou settest my righteousness is more than God's? This just continues. But look at verse 14. Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore what? He's telling Job, you're not been trusting in God. This is pretty heavy stuff. Not only is Job condemned God, he don't trust in God. I guess if God's done wrong, you really couldn't trust in him, could you? In verse 16, therefore did Job open his mouth in vain, he multiplieth words without knowledge. He's going to proceed in chapter 36. He says, in verse 3, he says, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. He said, I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. You know, when you say praise the Lord and you give thanks in all things, you're ascribing righteousness to your Maker. You're saying that He's just and righteous. I'd like to, in verse 10 it says, he opened up, as you come down through here, in verse 9, he showeth them their work that they have, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Verse 10, and this is chapter 36, he openeth their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. In verse 15, he delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ear in oppression. What is God using affliction and oppression for? So you can hear. To open up your eyes, to make you hear. Go down to chapter 31, to verse 31 in chapter 36. Let's look at verse 20 first. This is alright, let's back up. Let's look at, we're going to read 16. Even so, he said, God would have removed thee out of a straight place into a broad place where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. He said, God's wanting to restore you, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, nor thy gold, nor the forces of strength. Desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. And then verse 21, take heed, regard not what? What does Job's fourth friend say Job has regarded? What? Iniquity, sin, gross sin. He's saying you've regarded iniquity. And then that verse continues, this thou hast chosen rather than... Sermon title today was what? Choose affliction. When you look at Jesus Christ, this was what the gospel was about. Jesus is in heaven, and what did he choose? For what reason? Because he wants to spend eternity with you. His whole life, every day, was one of choosing affliction. You know how Jesus is going to be seen in you? He's not going to be seen in times of peace. It's going to be seen when you choose the affliction. When God gives you something and you choose. Thank you, Lord. You know, Ellen White says something. She says something phenomenal. She says that if we could see the end from the beginning, we would choose the way God has led us. You can do that today without knowing how you're going, where your path is. You can choose today to accept whatever affliction God's laid in your path today. I know each one of you, God has been faithful. Because Psalms 119:75 says, Thou, Lord, in faithfulness hath afflicted us. He's faithful to do this. He's not willing to let you go. Job has no idea all the ugly that's inside of him. He doesn't know he don't trust God. He doesn't know he would condemn God. He doesn't know that he thinks his righteousness is more than God's. Let's just go on up to Job 40. Then Job answered the Lord. This is chapter 42, verse 1. He says, I know that thou canst do all everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Hang on to this thought. There's nothing that Job, you can think that God don't already is not aware of. You can't hide nothing from him. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Job saying, I'm the one that hid counsel without knowledge. Therefore I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me. Job is saying, this is too wonderful for me. My family's gone. God never apologized to Job for his family being destroyed. You don't see anywhere God comes down and says, Job, I'm so sorry. This was such a terrible thing for me to do. God doesn't say, look, all your possessions. When Job said in Job 3, 24 and 25, he says, that which I was afraid of has happened. He was afraid of losing his money. He was afraid of losing his power, his influence. He was afraid of losing his family. He said, that's what I was afraid of has happened. What are you fearing in your life? You know that your words will be established. If God says this is working for good and you say it's not, you know what will happen? It will not work for good. Your words will be established. But if you say this is working for good, you know what will happen? Your words will be established. So right today, you're created in the image of God. He speaks and what happens? He says, let there be light. What happens? You're speaking about what God is doing in your life. And what's happening will be established. Job continues. He says, verse 5, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. What does verse 6 say?
Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust.
That's right. Wherefore, because of all this, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This gave me an entirely new view of righteousness by faith. An entirely new view of God who loves Job when he's condemning him. When Job even has his own righteousness, we find a Savior that is so utterly compassionate, that's not willing to allow anyone to perish. There might be someone here today that's been condemning God, declaring my righteousness is more than God's. Make that right. If you'd like to come down here with me, you're welcome to. I want to ask God for forgiveness in my life, for condemning him. But if there's someone that feels a special need, that they need to make some things right, I guess that would be a call to come down here and make it right. Let us pray here. Oh, Father in heaven, the beauty of Jesus Christ is so incredible. His utter love for us, Father, that he would reach down. Father, that he's not willing to allow us to continue in the path that we're going down. That, Father, you give us these trials, these tribulations, these afflictions, Father, that we can see what we're really like. We can come to know more about you, Father. And that, Father, we ask for forgiveness today for condemning you, for not trusting you, for not believing your word. Father, when we don't believe your word, we call you a liar. and liars by according to law must die. So we've condemned you, Father. We ask for forgiveness for this, Father. We ask for new hearts. Father, we ask that you would put it in us, that you would strengthen us to stand in this affliction, to choose affliction, Father. To choose to bow in submission to whatever you've allowed to happen in our lives, to not retaliate, to Father, accept what you've given us and to trust you in it. And allow it to have that perfect work that you want to do in our lives, Father. Father, because you're preparing us to partake of your holiness. This is your preparation. Father, for us to reject it is to reject your sanctification in our lives. Father, we plead for your Holy Spirit today. Remake our hearts, Father. We ask this and thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Please stand and open your hymnals to hymn number 510. I want you to focus on the message and the lyrics in this song and have a happy countenance, have a smile on your face and joy in knowing that the Lord in affliction wants to perfect you.
Trust in God to guide you and place your confidence in Him. You'll find Him always there beside you to give you hope and strength within. For those who trust God's changeless love, build on the rock that will not move. What gain is there in futile weeping, in helpless anger and distress, if you are in His care and keeping? In sorrow will He love you less. For He who took for you a cross will bring you safe through every loss. In patient trust await His leisure, in cheerful hope, with heart content, to take whatever your Father's pleasure, and all discerning love has sent. Doubt not your inmost wants are known to Him who chose you for His own. Sing, pray, and keep His ways unswerving. Offer your service faithfully, and trust His word, the one deserving. You'll find His promise true to be. God never will forsake in need the soul that trusts in Him
. Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation provided by Justified Walk Ministries. We invite you to contact us for many of our other presentations by Frank Phillips and other speakers that will help you have a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Pastor Frank Phillips also wrote a book titled His Robe or Mine. Many people are using this media for group sessions and Bible studies. You can contact us for your free copies at www.justifiedwalk.com or email us at justifiedwalk@justifiedwalk.com, or you can write to The Justified Walk, P.O. Box 233, Berrien Springs, Michigan 49103. Please feel free to share these timely messages with those you know and those you meet.